Hey, this is James from SurvivalPunk.com, and I'm back this week. So we'll make it through this week. Last week I attempted to record. I went into a coughing fit and then proceeded to throw up. Not a good start to the podcast. I was only like 2 minutes in. So this week the show will get done. I've had this nagging cough for, I'd say, 2 weeks. Runny nose, cough, maybe allergies. I don't really know. I always think that I don't have allergies, and sometimes I question it when I have allergy-like symptoms for 2 weeks. So maybe I do. Maybe I don't. I don't know. I do know the show will go on this week. I will not bullshit you with the preamble too much. If you would like to have your question answered on a show, you may call me at 615-657-9104. That is 615-657-9104. Even though I apparently plastered my actual cell phone number all over the interwebs trying to get phone calls. Technically, if you call my number, I probably won't answer anyway. It'll go to voicemail. I can still use that. But damn, my real phone number is out all over the interwebs. So, and then by the time I tried to fix it, it had been reshared, and I was like, fuck it, whatever. That's my number. Call and leave a voicemail question. You'll go on the air. You may also send me an email, james@survivalpunk.com. I get all those emails. Mostly it's bullshit. A lot of people that don't speak English very well. I mean, no offense, but they're retard, like, people that want to do guest posts and they can't speak the language, or they have business proposals. They're like, we would like to make purchase from you. I have memberships. I don't know what you're trying to get here. It's ridiculous. And with that, there's Raw Punk Army membership. It helps me get in the studio and get these shows recorded and pay the bills. But if you choose to do it, do it. If not, enjoy the show, which is about outdoor cooking. When I plotted up the show for outdoor cooking, I had been doing almost grilling almost every day. I had been cooking outside of some form pretty much every day. And then Tennessee's weather decided to rain every day for a while. So I haven't, let's say the past 2 weeks, I haven't done a lot of outdoor cooking. Previous to that, though, it was every day I was cooking something either on the grill or with coals or with fire, or just outside. And there's a reason for that. We'll jump into the reasons now. So, I have a tiny house. And tiny houses are great for a whole lot of reasons. They heat really effectively. They cool really effectively. If they're insulated and they're built well. And mine is. However, they heat really effectively and they cool really effectively. So, if you're doing a lot of cooking in your house in the summer in the South, you heat up your house really effectively. The oven was basically a do not touch for weeks. Like, you don't, nothing gets cooked in the oven, period. Especially since me and Serenity sleep in a loft, all the heat rises, the loft gets just brutally hot. There's one tiny air conditioner for the whole house, although the house is pretty much meets the requirements. If we had a slightly larger air conditioner, it would probably be great. It would probably freeze Serenity out more than it would do good, though. So there's a couple of days of the year where we're like, man, we wish we had more air conditioning. The rest of the time, though, it does a pretty good job. So there's that. The upstairs, we've got a cocoon of fans that surround us, and that helps out. I've actually got one of those tiny air conditioner things. They're a swamp cooler, but it does a good job as a fan blowing directly on my face from about 4 inches away. So it won't cool down your, like, people on the internet were like, oh yeah, you can use this as a tiny room air conditioner. Like, it'll cool down the thing, like something degrees. No, no, it won't. But if it's blowing directly on your face, you'll feel pretty good. So it, you know, and I got it for a buck. I got it for a dollar. It was totally worth a dollar. I didn't even put the water in it to do the swamp cooler stuff. I just use it as a fan to blow on my face. Granted, when you do put the water in it, it does, it is fairly cold air that blows on your face. But it's not room changing. It's body changing. You cool your person. Some other reasons to cook outdoors. It, you know, it's fun. You know, it's, unless weather permitting, it is fun. There's something innate about mankind. Not people kind, mankind. We love cooking over flame and fire. We love the outdoor cooking. We just do. It's great. It's social too. You know, when you're cooking outdoors, the center of focus is the food and the interaction with the people you're with. And I'm going to touch more on this, a bit later. I actually have plotted out reasons to cook. So yeah, I'm just going to jump around to this one, the being human. Like, there's something about us as humans that is ingrained in our soul about cooking with flame, cooking outdoors, cooking primitively, the way our ancestors did. And I think, you know, it's ingrained in our soul. And I think it's ingrained in our DNA and our brain. So before we learned to cook over fire, we had to eat everything raw. And digestion and chewing of raw foods is harder. This is, I can't wait to make a pot shot at raw vegans here in a second. So it's harder. It, you know, eating raw food takes more chewing. Because cooking usually helps break down the fibers, both in plant and animal sources. It helps break it down, make it more digestible, more chewable, more edible. When we cooked it and made it easier to chew and digest, we literally used less calories and less energy to process the food, which meant that more of those calories could then go to the brain, which is what allowed our ancestors to grow larger brains and become more intelligent. Yeah, raw vegans. That's why you're dumb. Cook that shit. I do think some food probably is better consumed raw. However, cooking was the great evolutional change to mankind to get smarter. When you can see in the evolutional record, when we started to cook our meat, huge advancements came. Our ancestors were fucking smart. So evolutionary, it's good. And just, I think because of that, because of our brains knew it was better. We evolved better. We got smarter. It became ingrained in us where it, you know, and it's social. You know, if you're sitting aside and you're cooking, you're watching TV, you're not really talking, you know, it's, you're not focused on the food, you know, you're not really focused on the food. You're focused on getting the food done and being distracted from doing the chore of cooking. When you're cooking outside, you're talking, you're laughing, you're cooking, you're watching it, you're moving it, you know, it's not as precise. So you can't just really set and forget a lot of things out there. There's a leeway, you know. But you got to check it, you know. You got to check it. You got to move it. You got to play with it. You got to, you know, one spot of the grill has gotten colder, so you move to the hotter spot, or you deliberately move to the colder spot and let it sit there for a while. So next up on the Reason to Cook Outdoor, flavor. I don't think me and Serenity, we argue about this quite a lot. Like, not knock down, drag out fights, but some pretty heated arguments that charcoal tastes better than gas. I said it. I don't care for propane cooked food. It, you know, it does the trick. And she makes the point that it is easier. There's no prep time. You go fire up the grill, put your food on. Bam. You got temperature control. But then I feel you lose a lot of that soul you get from when you cook outdoors. Like you're bringing the indoors to the out of doors and you're bastardizing the whole experience of cooking. Yes, I know cooking over charcoal takes some prep work, takes some time. It's not always precise. It's a gamble. But it's worth it for the flavor. I don't think anything tastes as good as something fresh off of a charcoal grill. Everything. So, flavor. That's big for me. Should have been number one. I jumped the shark, went to the whole being human, the ingrained in our soul. But flavor. You know? Whereas, like, indoors, you're cooking in a skillet or something, sometimes you have to bring a lot of flavor to your food. You've got to amp it up. You've got to do marinades or seasonings and stuff. I cooked a whole chicken on the grill recently, which was a first for me. I don't think I've ever cooked whole chicken that way. I think I've done a rotisserie before. Once, just sort of playing around. But this time I spatchcocked it, which is you cut the backbone out and lay it flat. And I cooked it that way, and it took about an hour, hour and a half-ish to come up to temperature. Got some good charred skin, got some good smoke flavor brought into it, you know, and we were outside socializing the whole time. It was an hour and a half, not spent on the TV, but spent around the grill with friends. And it was delicious, by the way. The smoke, you know, because I sort of minimally seasoned it. I didn't go overboard. Salt, pepper. I stuffed some butter pats, some pats of butter underneath the skin to let it soak into the meat. Pretty good. Salt, pepper, a little bit of poultry seasoning. Nothing crazy. The smoke brought a lot of flavor to it. You know, so we've talked extensively about the heat. When you cook outdoors, you're not putting heat into your house. And that's heat that, even if you've got a killer great air conditioning unit, you've got to then spend more energy, time, and money cooling down your house from the heat you put in your house. Wintertime, cook indoors all the time. Summer, you should probably consider cooking outdoors or doing less heat-invasive cooking methods indoors. If I'm not cooking outdoors, I'm using the Instant Pot or just skillet cooking stuff. The oven is a no-go. I've tried to avoid it all summer. Tried to. Not quite mastered it, but tried to. Yeah, so just not getting that heat in your house. You know, and there's a couple days where it's been so hot outside, it's almost been miserable cooking, but not quite. Like, we've hit some 100-degree weather here in Tennessee this year, which we haven't the past couple years. It's been kind of mild. But doing my best to keep the heat out. So let's talk about the ways to cook outdoors. And I've experimented with several of these recently. We'll blow through the gas first. So you can indeed cook with gas outdoors. Propane grills, they're fairly inexpensive. It's good to have propane tanks. You can find, I've been just sort of browsing on Marketplace, Craigslist, those sort of things. There's a lot of gas grills on there. You know, people get them. They don't really use them. They sit around. You can pick them up fairly cheap. I missed a great opportunity. I found a Weber kettle grill, brand new, hardly used, looked amazing for $20 something, $12, $20. It was stupid cheap, but it was about an It was about a 40-minute drive away, and I wasn't really feeling great that day. So, my bad. I'm keeping an eye out for another one, though. But you can find great deals on there. Propane tanks, you need extra propane tanks? Look, get a used one. Someone doesn't need it anymore. They're moving. They don't want to move it. You can get propane tanks for really cheap, and then you can get them refilled. It doesn't matter. And I'm looking to add an extra propane tank soon just to have the ease of availability of swapping one out when we run out. Like, because, of course, the propane always runs out at the most inconvenient times, like because we use propane to shower with. You know, in the middle of the shower, it's an important shower. No heat. You know, here in the summer, taking a colder shower is not always the worst thing. Some days after a long, hot day, I'll take a cold, lukewarm shower. And thank God it's not as hot today. I'm a little bit late getting into the pod cave. Before coming out here, I decided to use my burn barrel. And it was, so I woke up, it was like 60 degrees. Was burning the burn barrel stuff before I got in here. Catch tail, Mike's car wouldn't start while I was out there because he heading to work in the morning. So I had to jump him off. So thank God it's not as hot. It would have been cooler even earlier. And of course, I forego using a fan or anything out here in the shed so that you don't have to hear it. I think we've talked quite enough about gas grills. I will real quick mention there are other ways to cook with gas outdoors. Excuse me, let me take a drink. So as survivalists, we all have cooking methods for our preps, for our go bags. I've got pocket rockets, jet boils, alcohol, penny stoves. I have a lot of little stoves. I've got a camping cooktop, like a Coleman, takes butane, has a single burner. I've taken that outside and cooked in just to avoid cooking indoors and just to go outside and enjoy the weather. So, you know, I've used it inside, just tiny house. I tested that out for a while. I've got a different burner. But yeah, I used that for probably a whole, I don't know, season indoors. It worked great. So off topic, my main cooking methods indoors are generally I've got an induction stovetop that I use every day because it does great at boiling water. But there was it a while? So it's not great for everything. Like it cycles through its power mode. Sometimes it cuts off. Like it's not the great at cooking a lot of things, but it's good at cooking a few things. And it says it has some high, the temperature range is a little wonky. Like it's either like too cold or too hot, and it jumps around. You can't precisely change it. Like you got to go with the preset ones that it has, which I don't really care for. It's hard to get a good simmer. But it's okay to get a good sear. Kinda, the Coleman propane one does better. And then I've got just an electric single burner as well. That takes a lot of energy though. So I've had it break. I've had it throw the breakers a few times, so it's not the greatest. The gas one, the butane one, does really good. I may have reviewed it in the past. Next up is charcoal. We've talked about charcoal. It gives a superior flavor, by far. It takes longer. Yes, it does. So with propane, click, switch, bam, there you go. You turn your propane, you turn the burner on, you ignite it with a little spark electric switch thing, bam, there you go, Bob's your uncle. Charcoal, you know, I started out like, I guess from just not having my father around for a good portion of my sort of teenage years, and not really a good, you know, knit family unit the way it should have been. I didn't really have that father to teach me to grill. You know, like in the 50s, kids learned how to grill from their dad, who was the grill meister. I figured it out on my own, and I blundered and blundered, and I just kept doing it, and I kept watching YouTube videos until I got it. You know, I started out with the instant light. It's more expensive. And even that is still tricky. You're like, you know, you overload your grill with too much charcoal or you don't put enough in. Usually you overload it. It fails to start well. You get mediocre results. You resort to the old standby of dousing it with lighter fluid, and then you've got a huge fireball. You lose your eyebrows. Mediocre results. A lot of mediocre results, guys. So eventually I graduated to the charcoal chimney. I graduated from, I don't really use briquettes a lot anymore. I use lump charcoal. Better results. It's getting better all the time. I think my last thing to really upgrade me to the next level is getting a better grill. I've got a shitty Walmart grill. It doesn't even have the legs on it anymore. The top's starting to fall off. But by God, I'm going to use it until there's nothing left. So yeah, cooking with charcoal. If you are new or inexperienced, go to the store, get a charcoal chimney. They're between $8 and $15, depending on which one you buy. You take the chimney, you fill it the desired amount with charcoal. And I've gotten better at this. Previously, my thought was always to load it all over the top. Sometimes I don't do that anymore. Sometimes I load it halfway to get it started faster and put unlit charcoal in the grill to be started with the lit charcoal. So you can sort of increase your cook time that way a little bit, because the lit charcoal will ignite the unlit charcoal. And then as the lit charcoal is dying down, you have the new charcoal flaring up. You know, if I have a longer cook time, like with the chicken, that's what I did. You know, and there's tricks you can do with the briquettes too. Like I've seen where you can take, you make a ring around it, like a snake ring, and they touch each other and you light the first couple ones. And as it lights the next ones, like you get a long, long cook time. You can cook a brisket that way. Good idea. You know, for some of those longer cook times, you need to add charcoal. For that, it's really good to have a grate that you can lift up. Like they have hinges on them. So get yourself a chimney. That's your first step in improving your grilling technique. You get a chimney. I usually almost always will take some vegetable oil. That's really the only reason I keep vegetable oil. And you just sort of, you don't soak it, but if you have like a spray mister bottle, it's good to use that. If not, just sort of dribble a little bit into newspaper, wad it up. Put a couple wadded up sheets underneath it, light them, they burn a long time. You start your charcoal, 15, 25, 30 minutes. Keep an eye on it. You want to have all the charcoal covered in even ash. I've noticed that if you wait until the very top ones are completely covered in ash, your bottom ones are pretty much, they're well on the way of being spent. So you want to have the top ones mostly covered with ash, maybe not the tops, obviously. And they'll start once you dump them in. So yeah, you get good flavor. Charcoal is readily available. Keep some in your preps, have a couple extra bags. But if you run out, you can still cook. And I've tried this a couple times recently with, I would say mixed results. And that's just using wood. I just went out, collected some wood, let it burn down, get some good embers, and cooked my food over it. And I cooked quite a lot of food, too. I used a method of having some reserve pieces able to be caught on fire with the coals. And I think it smoked a little too much, and the smoke from whatever wood I was using wasn't the tastiest smoke. It wasn't hickory. It wasn't mesquite. It wasn't applewood. It was Tennessee, what's the word I'm looking for here? Muttwood. We'll call it muttwood, because it was just nasty, just shit, random wood I pulled out of the yard. And, you know, I didn't notice anything really. I wouldn't say that, you know, when you cook with a good mesquite, or a hickory wood, it imparts that delicious flavor. I wouldn't say I got a lot of flavor out of the food I cooked on the wood that way. Serenity and Skylar both tasted a flavor, and it was not a flavor they happened to like. To each their own. They're fairly picky eaters, so they're more prone to notice these things than am I. But, you know, it was easy, and it was... Is cheap an understatement? Yes. I didn't even spend a whole lot of time gathering up the wood. There are methods, however, though, where that does work really well. And that's where your food does not come in contact, really, with the smoke. You know, if I had completely let everything burn down to ash, burn down to embers, and cooked over that, it may have imparted less of that undesirable flavor. If I could identify my wood and pick more desirable tasting woods, would have probably been better that way as well. But so next up, we're going to speak. So this has all been grills. We've talked about cooking over the grills. Recently, thanks to, and I will include in the show notes a link, thanks to YouTuber Cowboy Kent, I've gotten onto Dutch oven cooking. Like, I've always had my love with cast iron for 10 years or so going on now. 10, 15, something like that. I've had a lot of cast iron. I use it. I have a Dutch oven for the house previously. And, you know, I started cooking in that before I got a crock pot. And, you know, you can slow roast stuff in the oven that way. I've done popcorn in it. I've done a lot of things in my Dutch oven, but then getting excited. Watching Cowboy Kent and doing all the outdoor Dutch oven cooking, I was like, fuck, I need a Dutch oven. I need to cook outdoor with a Dutch oven. So, first of all, I went to the flea market here with about $30 set aside to find a cast iron Dutch oven. And the day that we went just happened to be just a slow, bad day for cast iron. Normally there's huge tables set full of cast iron and all sorts of little interesting cast iron accoutrement, but this time there was piddly nothing. It was terrible compared to usual. I found a couple of meh pieces, a lot of them too small, didn't have the legs, overpriced. I found one for $30 that was the size I needed, the legs, the handle. And I legit noticed that the stamp on the lid was Ozark Trail. Yes, the Walmart camping brand, which I know for a fact because I work at Walmart, that Ozark Trail Dutch oven in that size is $17.83. And they were legit charging $30. So, without being able to find a good lodge, a good Griswold Wagner, no traditional American-made one, I just went to Walmart and bought the 1783 Lodge Dutch oven. I mean, not Lodge. The Ozark Trail. And I've been cooking on that. I've had good results. Well worth the $17. Is it American-made? No. Is it perfect? No. The lid's just a little wobbly. Is it good enough? Yes. You know, if I come across a good deal on another Dutch oven, by all means, I'll probably get it in the future. But for now, this one's working great. I've cooked a lot of things in it. Bacon, eggs. I've cooked cinnamon rolls. Cooked cinnamon rolls in it. And they were great. I cooked biscuits in it because I really wanted it for sort of bacon, sort of oveny type duties outdoors. Whereas, you know, like things I couldn't do on the grill so much, things I couldn't do on a skillet outside. you know, and the funny thing is, and this is, you don't hear a lot of people talking about it. Everyone's like, you need to have a camping Dutch oven, the one that has the legs and the flat top to put charcoal on. Yes. Because with the legs, you can put it directly in the coals. Yes. But everything will burn on the bottom. Yeah, pretty much. To do any sort of baking things, you have to have a trivet. You have to hold it up off the ground so that the bottom doesn't get burned well before the top gets cooked evenly. Okay, so don't really need the legs. You could have a flat bottom one and set it on a trivet. Yeah. Yeah, you could. And I've learned cooking it directly on the ground, or cooking it directly, you know, just using the legs, it has been too close to the coals, even if I move them, you know, more towards the sides, really, not even on the bottom. It still gets too warm, and the bottoms get a little burnt. And I was like, shit, I need something to raise it up off the ground, something to slower cook that bottom. I had an old metal coffee container, you know, that you buy your coffee in, metal coffee can, and I just cut the bottom off of it and just use that. You just set it on top, put the coals around the bottom of the coffee can, put your coals on top of the cast iron. You rotate it a couple times during the cook. You rotate the whole Dutch oven one way. You rotate the lid back the other way. Do that a couple times. Keep an eye on it. Works perfect. You know, until I can get or make a better trivet. You know, because it's a little high. It's a little high. I'll give it that. But with some hot burning coals, even that close, even that far away, I mean, it's fine. So, you know, I'm really loving the Dutch oven. Really loving it. If you don't have one, by all means, go to Walmart and get a $17 one. And I'm not just hyping it up because I work there. You know, $17 you almost won't even miss. You know, $17 is a meal, basically. $17 ain't nothing. And it's cast iron. Even if it's not great, it's still cast iron and it'll still work pretty good. And it'll get your foot in the door. That's what matters. You can use your money buying your accoutrement, your trivets, your lid lifters are a good thing to have. I don't, and I use pliers and stuff, and it's warm. So that's my next thing, probably is a lid lifter. But yeah, it's definitely fun. If you haven't experienced it, I'll have a link to Cowboy Kent. Go check him out, and he'll get you hyped up. He'll try to sell you on the American-made cookware. He will. But, you know, if by all means, you have the money, go buy it. And you're better off looking on the secondhand market. Look at your flea markets, your thrift stores. Because an older one is always better than a newer one in cast iron. So next is ones that I've not really played with a whole lot, and I want to, and that's spit roast and hang roast. Basically, this is where you either put a stick and rotate the stick, you know, sort of like the old style rotisseries. Like, you ever seen, like, Knight in Shining Armor type movies? They're always spit roasting a rabbit or something. Hang roasting is similar, where you just tie up your meat to be cooked and just sort of spin it next to a fire. Good videos for the hang roasting. Townsend's has a good video. Alamazon Kitchen, they're an outdoor cooking show. They don't really explain anything, but they show it fairly well. You truss up a roast, start a fire. You really kind of want one with like a backdrop. Like, think of a shelf, like you got your fire built up sort of vertical on a shelf with a good cooking fire that way. You put your meat out, over it to the side so that it's really getting cooking from the bottom and then from the side, not directly over it. And you get some good side heat, and then you just spin it and you keep spinning it until it's cooked. And then lastly is solar ovens. And I've not had a whole lot of experience with this either. And I plan on building one this summer just so we get a little experience. And that's just using, you know, once again, you're outputting heat in the house. You're using, once you've built it, it's all free from there. And it's just basically, you have a black vessel, you probably use cast iron, and reflectors and glass to trap the heat in, and you make a hot a hot solar box outside. And you cook with that. I'll try to find some links to some people building them so you can see an idea. I'll get one built and put a video up soon. Because that's, you know, like, you're not going to... Okay. Mostly, you're not going to be like... You're not going to be cooking things fast. You're not going to make bacon, eggs, and steak. Unless you have like a giant Frenzel lens and a reflector and you're cooking... and a skillet that way. And I've seen people do that on YouTube. It's very dangerous. It can be done. Yes. Will you do it? Probably not. Just saying. There's a lot of upfront building into it. And, you know, it's a little dangerous. You've got a very hot beam of focused solar light hitting a very specific point, and it will burn the shit out of you. So there's that. Basically, you're going to be slow cooking things in like a solar oven. You're going to be making pot roast, not necessarily the most summer meal. Most people don't want that kind of thing in the summer, but I think some of that does stem from just putting the heat in your house. You know, historically people had the same issues I have with putting heat in their kitchens in the summer. So they probably didn't want to do it a whole lot. With this, you can make a pot roast outside. You can make a stew. You can make any kind of a slow cooked meat and or veggie recipe. And I believe that's all my voice has for this episode, guys. I know it's a little short than I usually like to put out. I think we covered everything. So I'm going to try to get this edited, thrown up, and you can enjoy this shorter episode. Don't forget to get those calls in. Hopefully I can put up a call-in show next week. If you get off your butts and give me a call. And that phone number is 615-657-9104. Once again, 615-657-9104. Give it a call, ask me a question, and I will answer it, and you'll hear yourself on the show. You know what? I've been kicking this around for a while. I'm gonna launch it. If, and this will help out with, maybe getting a couple extra shows up per week. Maybe if I get enough of these questions, I can get extra shows up. I know, right? Call and leave a voicemail. If it gets right on air and answered, send me an email, name and address. I'll send you a sticker. So, send me an email, jamesrawpunk.com with a question. If it gets answered on air, I'll send you a sticker. You get stickers either way. And I'll combine the shows unless I get an overwhelming amount of either or. So I can do an email response show and a voicemail response show. But either way, if your question gets answered on air, you get a sticker. So with that said, this is jamesrawpunk.com. DIY to cook your food outside, guys.